Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, sometimes it takes three perspectives to truly figure out what happened at a particular event. Two or three years ago, I was involved in a minor fender bender. It took place in the Safeway parking lot just a few miles away from here on 53rd and Philomath Boulevard. You see, I was in a rush and a hurry. My wife had some plans that evening and she had a grocery list. And I went into Safeway, got the groceries and rushed out to the car and packed those groceries in the car. Not going through my usual routine of turning my head and looking behind me to see if there was anyone behind me, I backed up and collided with a car in the middle of that parking lot. It actually took three perspectives to figure out what exactly had happened. First, there was my perspective. From my perspective, I was completely at fault. I was rushing, I was hurrying, I really wasn't thinking through things, I didn't turn around, I just looked into my mirror, I pretty much had my license and registration ready to hand over, and I was ready to say, my fault. Then there was a second perspective, the lady that was driving the other car. Her perspective was that it was my fault as well. She got out of her car, and she was quite angry, and she had an argument pretty much all prepared. And the one thing I remember about her was that her nostrils were flaring. She was coming at me, hard and fast. And she was somewhat surprised that I just handed over my information and was willing to take fault. But that's when a third perspective came onto the scene. Someone who was standing in the back of that parking lot, taking it all in, decided to come into that moment and speak the truth. She interrupted us, and this lady said, "Actually, I saw all of this, and it actually wasn't your fault. It was both of your faults." That changed everything. That made a huge difference. The lady and I went over and looked at our fenders and saw that it really was just a minor scratch. And we shook hands and walked away. My friends, it takes three perspectives to truly figure out what an event is all about. Now, we've been journeying through Lent this year. We had fantastic plans on our Wednesday nights. Those got wrecked because of what is going on in our world today. But in those Wednesdays, our plan was to take a look at the different perspectives and eyes that were looking at Jesus and his passion. In other words, by passion, we mean the last week of his life. The messages were to take a look at Judas and Peter, Pontius Pilate, the Jewish crowds, the Roman guard, and also the chief priests and the scribes. Tonight, we're taking a different look at what happened with Jesus that last week. We're taking a look at his crucifixion from three perspectives: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if we didn't take those three perspectives into account of this accurate and historic event that happened over 2,000 years ago, my friends, we'd probably come to the conclusion that this was a complete accident. Why? The charges against Jesus looked like they've just been brought up out of nowhere. He's king of the Jews. That's the charge. It doesn't look well thought out. It looks almost accidental. Then there's the trial itself. We know that it took place sometime Thursday evening all the way to Friday, and that was actually against the law according to Roman tradition. You needed longer than a 24-hour period. This trial even looks like kind of an accident or a coincidence that it all took place. The pain and agony of Jesus on the cross, certainly this is an accident. This couldn't have been by plan or design. That, my friends, is why we need to look at the crucifixion of Jesus from these three perspectives, because we'll find and discover that no, this was no accident at all. This was God's plan. And not just plan, it was his plan to bring you into his kingdom so that you could know his love and admiration for you. Let's start with the Father's perspective first this evening. You know, you might think that a father looking down and seeing his son die on the cross, that the natural thoughts would be ones of grief and extreme grief. I've had the experience of being in funerals in which parents had to share thoughts about what it was like losing a child in those funerals. They journeyed through journeyed through the last moments of the life with their children, and they saw the pain and agony and the difficulty that they went through. And those were hardships, but I'll never forget what I've pretty much heard at almost every funeral in which a parent has buried a child. The parent will say something like this: "This, I should have been the one who should have died. Why didn't God take me first?" It's an overwhelming sense of grief. That must be the father's perspective, taking it in as Jesus dies on the cross. But it's not. The overwhelming thoughts the scriptures give about the father's perspective of Jesus' crucifixion is actually one of satisfaction. That Jesus died on the cross and put forward the father's plan to bring you into his kingdom. The father saw in Jesus his good plan to win back the world as Jesus took on the wrath of sin so that you could be brought into his kingdom. So the father's perspective is one of satisfaction at this event that happened over 2,000 years ago. Now let's consider Jesus' perspective. He's up on the cross. What were his eyes thinking of? He's bloody. He's sweaty. His tears are coming down his face. You might think that Jesus' perspective is one of abandonment. After all his disciples had pretty much fled for the hills. Those who were down below him were mocking him. Abandonment. There he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to the Father, "Father, take this cup from me." And the Father really didn't answer. And then on the cross, Jesus did say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Abandonment. But it wasn't that. And we know that because Jesus on the cross said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He trusted his Father. It wasn't abandonment. Well, we might think that maybe Jesus' perspective is one of anger. He lived the perfect life. He didn't make any mistakes. You and I have made the mistakes, and we have sinned and fallen short. That's why he is pinned up to the cross. Maybe he's angry that he's up there and that you and I get to go free, and that those below him, when this happened 2,000 years ago, planned their weekend and the weeks that would come ahead. But it wasn't anger either, because Jesus said on the cross these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." My friends, Jesus' perspective is this. This was his greatest act of love for his people. As he would say, there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for another. Jesus' perspective is a loving act was happening. So the Father's perspective is satisfaction. Jesus' perspective is a loving act for you. Well, now let's consider the third perspective. Now, remember what I said in the very beginning. It's the third perspective that takes it all in and delivers the truth. In my family, we have three children, an eight-year-old, a six-year-old, and a one-year-old. And right now, we have two perspectives. And oftentimes, those two perspectives of the eight-year-old and the six-year-old aren't always the same. The eight-year-old will come in and say, "Well, she took the book from me and it wasn't fair." We listen to that. And then a few moments later, the six-year-old will come in and she will say such things as, "Well, she wasn't nice to me on the bus." And as a parent, it's really hard to figure out which perspective is truth. Sometimes we got to flip a coin to figure that out. That's why we have a third perspective. In a couple of years, our one-year-old will be able to deliver the truth, take it all in from the outside, and he can break the tie and deliver the truth to us so that we can know for sure what exactly has happened. Friends, that's what the Holy Spirit has done. This event that happened 2,000 years ago, someone had to bring it to you. This is what the Holy Spirit has done. How you're plugged into this online worship for a reason. You go to church for a reason. Somehow the Holy Spirit has reached you with this event that happened over 2,000 years ago. Now, maybe it was a grandfather that held your hand and brought you to VBS. That could have been why you're plugging in here, or a reason. Or maybe it was a neighbor who thought, boy, my church is great, come and worship at my church. Or maybe it was a crisis that you were going through, and somehow, some way, you were brought into the light and brought into the church. You heard about Jesus. Or maybe it was just a hunch that you had. Whatever your case is for why you're plugging in right now, you see, behind that was the work of the Holy Spirit to bring the truth of Jesus' death on the cross and what it means for you. Jesus would say about the Holy Spirit, he will come and deliver the truth to you. He will be your guide, your comforter. And the Holy Spirit has reached you. He's given you this message that the Father is satisfied, that Jesus, this was his loving act. It's been delivered to you through that Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's perspective. However, I want to end my message with maybe a twist for you this evening. Maybe this Good Friday or Lent, you're not the destination of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you are. The Holy Spirit is once again reminding you of what Jesus did on the cross, but maybe you're not the destination. You see, my friends, maybe you are the vessel the Holy Spirit uses to reach someone else. Maybe you're the grandfather that takes the hand of your grandchild and takes him to VBS this summer. Maybe you are that neighbor that tells someone who's going through crisis, and many people are going through crisis right now. Maybe you are that neighbor that the Holy Spirit uses to direct them to a place of worship. Or maybe you're that person just helps move someone from a hunch to belief in Jesus. I pray that this Lent has been a special one for you, that you have deeply felt that you have been the destination of this truth about what has happened on the cross over 2,000 years ago. But maybe if you're not feeling it this year, or you're not feeling so connected for the problems that are going on in the world around us that are real and troubling and very fear-filled, consider this. Consider at least being a vessel for the Holy Spirit to use to bring home what happened over 2,000 years ago to someone else. God's peace be with you as you take in this great news of Jesus' crucifixion, an event that has been brought forward 2,000 years ago to us, a true event that has happened that truly changes our destiny. Amen.